faith can live, Lord, is your way. And it's your way. Come take my life,
Santos, take my life, Santos, Santo, 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 Santa, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just lift up your hands. Just worship God, everybody. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Avinas to go vantis to go bota tatara staga vida days. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Vantis to go vantis to go vantis to go vala shatala gatila to go vala tapatata taste of bada dust. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Savi la bila steke pila masanta papa tatati tete. Te posta ko pala sata papa te ke sta ka pa te ke so ta pala mazante le mazon to male mazante e mazate ke pila ste ke pila rate ke pila kantin so ko pala te ke pila maze pi pandos in te ke pila zata papa nde ste ke pila proto na mazata la ba ste ke pila poto ste ke pila te ke ste ke pila lembro papa 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 andis. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, let's sing together. You are more beautiful than them all.
Lord, you are more costly
than
gold.
Awesome ones willing to go far for you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your heart of obedience. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for greater things to come. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for your word that is producing fruit in the heart of these ones. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your spirit. Oh, thank you for your spirit. Alas, take a villa and take a vista. Thank you for your spirit. Oh, thank you for courage. Thank you for courage. Over the pastor of this church, thank you for courage. Thank you for courage. Oh, thank you for courage. Thank you for help. Thank you for help. Thank you for help. Oh, thank you for help. Lord, thank you for help. Thank you for help. Thank you for help. Oh, thank you for help. Thank you for help. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your power. 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 Thank you. And thank you for greater days to come. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you. Amen, amen. Praise God. Can you celebrate your pastor? Can you, I mean, celebrate Pastor? Thank you. Everybody can sit down. Thank you. She is the reason why we are here at all today. Glory to God. You know, everything else you can find in the world, they all belong to God. The only thing that God cannot take like that is the heart of man. The heart of man. Amen. Praise God. All resources belongs to God. Yeah. Everything else belongs to God. But the heart of man must yield himself willingly to God. Praise God. So God is not in the business of manipulating man. He said, if you are willing and obedient, okay? So that means there's always a will of man to every action of God. So that means if man refuses to take a step, God's will remain a mirage. God's will just remain. It's just be like that. If nobody ever took the gospel then to Africa, we don't know where we would have been today. Amen? So to every great move of God, there is always a man involved. Yeah, there's always the action of men involved. Praise God. So that's why Paul said, you have known my doctrine, my manner of life, my persecution. So that means everything you see in your pastor, you have to copy. You have to copy. It's not just the doctrine, it's also the style. Amen, amen. The style, the manner of life, the endurance. Yes, the only thing that we hear that people usually go up and down for is, okay, people travel around to get married, people travel around to get a new job, to get a new career. What up for the gospel? What up for the ministry of Jesus? What up for the ministry of Jesus? So, thanks again for welcoming and for helping her in this work. I really appreciate Sister Effet. Thank you so much. Amen, amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Okay, I exhort therefore that... Okay, let me wait for you. I'm sure everybody is there. Okay, 2 verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Verse 2. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all what? In all honesty. Verse 3. Can we take verse 3 together? 1, 2, go. Yes, sir. What will he do? Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? Why? Verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So I call it the ministry of Jesus and time. Now see that verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. This is actually what a lot of people are struggling with. A lot of Christians, a lot of lots of religions. This is why we have all the religions of the world. Bible said there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Even some Christians, they are not sure. They are not sure of what they are doing. They are not sure of why they come to church. And when you are not sure, it will affect your strength of ministry. It will affect your persuasion. Bible said, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. See verse 5. Let me read verse 5 again. Let me read the Good News Bible for you. It said, there is one God and there is one who brings God and human beings together. That's a mediator. It said, there is one God and one who brings God and human beings together, the man Christ Jesus. So God and man will meet in Christ. Write that down, please. God and man, the meeting point of God and man is in Christ. That's the meeting point of God and man. They will meet where? Say in Christ. God and man will meet in Christ. That is what is called heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. Or I can say it this way, heaven and earth will meet in Christ. Heaven and earth, they will meet in Christ. Jesus is God's meeting point for man. He is the meeting point. Go back to 2 Timothy 3:15. This is what I will be explaining for a while today. And tomorrow, we now go a bit further in the study. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in who? In Christ Jesus. So, see that? Said you are able to, scriptures are able to make you wise unto what? Which type of salvation? Through faith in, say salvation, through faith in Christ Jesus. So, please, the wisdom of the Bible is to see Jesus as a singular motivation behind the inspiration. The wisdom of the Bible, the wise man, the wisdom of the Bible is to see Jesus as the singular motivation behind all the inspiration in the Bible. Scriptures don't have a disjointed focus. Scriptures don't have a disjointed view. Who is a wise man? It's not the one that preaches so much every day from the book of Proverbs. It's not the one that calls himself Dr. Sophia. No. The wise man is the one who could see Jesus as the motivation behind the inspiration of the scriptures, of the prophets. So verse 16 now says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Go to Isaiah 44. So you open your Bible. Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah 44. Okay, I will be reading from verse. Don't forget, though. So that means there is an intelligence with which we read the Bible and we see Jesus as as the actor that the prophet is talking about. As the actor. Now, we have the actor in the normal Hollywood movies who demonstrates what is not real, right? Right? Now we have an actor, someone that actually acts reality. You know, that's how we have what we call reality shows, right? Please don't be watching them. So, see, Isaiah 44, verse 1. Now, you are going to see Jesus as the actor that the prophet is talking about here right now, using other names. Isaiah 44, verse 1. Are you there? Want to go? Let's read. Yes. Yet now, hear, O Jacob, my. Look at your Bible, man of God. Look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. Okay, Isaiah 44, verse 1. Let's read. Want to go? Yes, sir. Hold on. So, in this place, where is Jacob as a person? He's long dead, right? Praise God. So, say, here now, oh Jacob, my servant. So, you could have said that he's talking to maybe Israel as a nation. But he used a singular word. He said, my servant and Israel whom I have chosen. Now, read verse 2. Want to go? Yes. Okay. Which will help thee, fear not, O Jacob, my servant, thou Jezreelim, whom I have. So, see that. Look at it. Say, I have formed thee from the womb. Write this down. Talking about God's predestination. Talking about what God did all by himself. About what God did all by himself. Formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, singular, my servant, not servants, whom I have chosen. Meaning, everything that will be available in God will be found in this man. See from verse 3. Let me wait for you. Are you in verse 3? Okay, let's read verse 3. One to go. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon who? Thy seed, and my blessing upon who? Thy offspring. That's a lot. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring. See verse 4. And they shall spring up as grass among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. Verse 5. One shall say, I am the Lord's. Another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. Another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Hallelujah. This is why we don't say that you have a covenant with God. If there's any covenant, the covenant is between God and Christ. You are the beneficiary. You are the result. Because see those words clearly. He said, one shall say, I am the Lord's. And that shall call himself by the name of the same Jacob. Hallelujah. Meaning he cannot be talking about the physical nation of Israel, nor of Jacob who has died long ago. So, write this down. Christ is the one that does the will of the Father. Write that down. Jesus is the one that does the will of the Father. He is the one. Are you with me? He is the one that does the will of the Father. Say, Jesus is the one that does the will of the Father. And see, again, before you forget, see verse 3. He said, I will pour my spirit upon what? Thy seed. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring. Amen, amen. Okay, go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 6. Hebrews 10, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 6. In burnt offering and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no what? Pleasure. Verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Meaning, what the burnt offering are made to do is actually the work of another. Write that down. What the burnt offerings are made to do is actually the work of another. Is the work of another. All those things that they are using, those goats, bulls, etc. to do, is actually meant to be the work of another. The work of another. Go back to Isaiah 44. I'm still reading. Verse 6. Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus said the Lord, the King of Israel, his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. So God will save by no other except in Christ. Write that down. God will save by no other except in Christ. God, see what he said in verse 6. Thus said the Lord, the King of Israel, his Redeemer, the Lord. And his Redeemer, the Lord. I am the first, I am the last, amen, amen, and beside me there is no God. Okay, finish writing. Let me explain again. In verse 2, what did he call him? He says he's Jacob, right? Okay, verse 6, he now said the King of Israel is Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last. And beside me, there is no. Meaning, the Jacob is talking about in verse 2. Is who? Is who? Is God himself. Who made this statement in the Bible? Check Revelation. Revelation. Don't call it Revelations. It's Revelation. It's singular. Some people say Revelations. No, it's Revelation 1. Amen, amen. Okay, should we use verse 8? I am the what? Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, said the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. Read verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, yes, the first and the last. Okay, that's okay. Go back to Isaiah right now. So you could see that the vision of John on Patmos was yet according to what? To scriptures. Some people, they see visions today, and their visions, they are contrary to scriptures. Amen, amen. So when John will see the vision, this vision, everything he documented is actually according, not anti. Some people think Revelation is about the Antichrist. No, sir, it's about the Christ. So go back to Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. So God will save by no other except in Christ. And see verse 7. And who as I shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me. Since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Pay attention to that. I plan to explain this in our Jesus later. See verse 8. Fear ye not, neither be ye afraid. Have I not told thee that from the time, and I have declared that you are even my witness? Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God, and I know not any. Go back again to that verse 3. So, verse 3 says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon what? Thy offspring. So, where is the blessing of God located? So, let me ask. So, that means I can give you an exam. Dangote has the blessings of God. Yes or no? Now, you're not talking again. Now, hope you know. And that question, it can be yes, can be no. That means what matters is the explanation. So, Dangote has the blessings of God. Okay? So, the first question, if somebody tells you that, you must make it a rhetorical, give it a rhetorical answer. Say, sir, what are you calling the blessings of God? Amen, amen? No, we have blessings of God, then we have blessing of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, according to the scripture, what we call God's blessings, where is it located? In Christ. Ephesians 1. The blessings of God. No, it's sad, funny, when a believer envies an unbeliever. You have not just lost your place, you are in self-delusion. You know not what manner of man you are. Ephesians 1 verse 3. So you could see that, no, we have people like Jehovah Witness that they have removed almost everywhere that Jesus is God from the New Testament. They will not see things like this. Open their Bible. They will forget the Isaiah 44. Show them that, oh, okay, he's called Jacob in verse 2. He's called God in verse 6. Who is he talking about? They just open their mouth. Ha! Okay, Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be God. Let's read, yes. Ephesians 1 3. Ensure your neighbor is there. We have a long way to go and we have to speed up. Ephesians 1 3. One to go. Let's read, yes, sir. Blessed be God, Father, yes. Hallelujah. So, where is the blessings of God located? In Christ. So, now, what from Isaiah 44 verse 2, what is another name for the blessings of God? Sorry, from Isaiah 44 verse, which verse are we reading? That should be
Verse 3, right? Okay. What is another synonym for the blessings of God in that place? Yes? My spirit. Who has the spirit of God here? Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Say, I have the blessings of God.
I have the blessings of God.
Hallelujah. Glory. Say, I've got the blessings of God.
I've got the blessings of God.
See, you must believe the Bible. You must believe the Bible. I know, yes, we have learned to rank the blessings of God as in things. Things that even nature itself teaches us that these things, they are decaying. That is why the best building in the world this year is not likely to be the best one in the next 5 years. And anything that we call good, we require renovation. Selah, selah. That means there was a time that we have what we call Casio keyboard. I don't know if you remember those days. If you know Casio, CTK, all those things. We will sign and kang, kang, not tongue, kang. That is sound. And then if your church has that, wow, you are mega. You are mega. Now it's time that wireless microphone is for not just men of God, though, the international men of God. The ones that come from international. You understand? Uh-huh. Of course, you know a time when SIM card is how much? Me, I know of 33,000. And you put it, then SIM card is more expensive than Nokia 3310. Praise God. Even some people, they look at themselves before the mirror, say, I am wonderfully and what? Fearfully made, thinking that's the image of God that God is talking about. Why not? Don't rub cream again every day. Don't use body spray. Amen. Hallelujah. To tell you that the blessings of God is not in your physique. That's not it. It's in the spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I've got this. Say, I've got the spirit of God. I am blessed of God. See, believe the Bible. Believe the Bible. Don't be an atheist. Don't believe half. Don't believe half. Your bank account is far from your is far from the depiction of if you are born again or not. That is when people are still saying up and down, up and down, up and down. Yes, yes. God, yes. And no, it's ridiculous when you can open your mouth to say. Any poverty is a sin. You are ridiculous. Very ridiculous. That means there are places that you don't dare. There are places that don't dare take the gospel to. Hope you know you in this place. Maybe the poor man may be the one that only have ₦1,000 balance, right? There are some villages that if you enter, that if you have ₦100, you are rich. Even now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's progress. See John. See John. John chapter 9. Sorry. Job 9. So, God is committed to work. God is committed to the work of his son. God is committed to the work of his son. To what his son did. Say, God is committed. To the work of his son. God is committed to the work of his son. He is committed. See Job chapter 9, verse 31. See one of the confusions of Job. See one of the reasons why Job could go haywire and miss out. See Job, are you there? 9:31. Somebody will say, yes, Christians, we are taking over. Somebody has said that, yes, how the gospel will go around is when we use money, buy all the TV stations, be putting Jesus there. Use money, buy, you will be tired. Devil will outsmart you. Because you are going outside God's perimeters. See Job chapter 9, verse 31. This is one of the confusions of Job. So let's read together. Yes, thou shalt plunk me into the dish, and my own clothes shall abhor me. Why? Verse 2. For he is not a man as I am, that I should. Hold on. Can you see one wrong thing there? Huh? What did he say in verse 32? He said, for he is not a man like what? Put your hand there. Rush to Hebrews. This is why you cannot just pick the book of Job and you are preaching from it like it's doctrine. No, he's telling you most. He's telling you mostly what is not doctrine. See Hebrews chapter 4. Let us try chapter 2. Verse 17. 2:17. Oh no, it's almost everything. I love this one so much. Okay, let's read from verse 10. I read verse 10, you read verse 11 for me. Hebrews 2 from verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through what? 11, want to go? Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Next verse, yes. Let's read 14 together. I want to go. For as much then as the children are partakers, flesh and blood, he himself took part of the same, that through death. Let's keep reading. And deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. 16. Yes. He took not on him the nature of angels, but he took what? The seed of what? What did Job say? Job said, ah, God, you are not like a man. That means you don't feel like I feel. You are not sympathizing with my what? Infirmities. But let's read verse 17. Want to go? Wherefore, in all things, it behold him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be what? Merciful. Hallelujah. And faithful high priest. Amen. In things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the... Next verse. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Go back to Job. Job 9. So, that means 32 is a confusion of Job. It's a lamentation. It's an heresy of Job. Don't forget, Bible never said all scriptures are doctrine. It says all scriptures are given for doctrine. That means you study with the mindset of verse 15, looking at it, salvation through faith in Christ, then you will derive doctrine. It's not saying la read, la do. No, la cram la pour down, the one you do in school. So it's not like as I read everything, I say yes, that's it. No, there is what is called Bible interpretation. And that's the job of the church. If your church is not teaching you in how to interpret the Bible, they are failing over your life. They are failing. I will get there very soon. See, okay, Job chapter 9. Okay, now. For he's not a man, as I am, that I should answer him, and that we should come together in judgment. Verse 33. 1, 2, go. Neither is there any word. This man, wow, between us, that might lay his hand upon. That's a lie. See, that's a lie. That's a lie. If you check BBE, he said there is no one to give a decision between us who might have control over us. So, and that person says there is no umpire. That means one to plead, one to decide, rather than umpire, U-M-P-I-R-E. One to call the shots. Praise God. See, that one was a lie. God has an umpire. Amen, amen. He has a mediator. Amen, amen. For there is one mediator, hallelujah, between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So you could see why the life of Job was upside down. He lacked the revelation of Christ until later he was corrected in chapter 34 or 32. 42. No, from no, when Eliu corrected him. That is from 33 or 34, around that place. Praise God. Go to Romans chapter 10, verse 12. Romans 10, 12. Look at your Bible. Come on, look at your Bible. Christians read Bible. That's a Christian. Muslims read Quran. Atheists, they read themselves. Amen? So when you come to church without, and you're not willing to open Bible, you are claiming to be an atheist. Without Bible, it's difficult to call you a Christian. Why were people first called Christian? That should be in Acts 11 and verse 36, right? In Antioch, right? They were teaching every day. And it was in Antioch that believers were first called what? Christian. Why? Too much teaching. Not prayer of fall down and die. Not God send my bear or bull from the south or from the east. He won't come in Jesus' name. Sorry. Your own will come, Lord. Romans 10. Are you there? Romans 10, verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Let's read verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Guys, please, sorry. Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord here? You know, who is the Lord? Who is that umpire? Go back to verse 8. The Lord is who does these things. See verse 8. We know the Lord by what he does. Write that down, please. We know who the Lord is by what he did. Okay, maybe from verse 5 will be better. Let's read from verse 5 together. Everybody wants to go? Yes, sirs? Yes. Shall live by them. Yes. Next verse. Say not in your heart. Who shall? Yes. Next verse. Yes. Near thee. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith, which we. Verse 9, yes. The Lord Jesus, and shall believe God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be. Verse 10, yes. For with the heart man believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto. Verse 11, what loud and clear, want to go? For shout whosoever! Shout whosoever! Wow, that's a lot. Whosoever. Hallelujah. Say, whosoever. Hallelujah. Believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So, who is the Lord there? Verse 9. For that if thou shalt confess with the mouth who the Lord Jesus. Say, Jesus is Lord. You know the meaning of that? That means Jesus, he calls the shots. Write that down. What is not Jesus Lord? He calls the shots. He calls the shots. Hallelujah. Praise God. Also write this down. It means he is in charge. Just ask me. It means he is in charge. Say God is in charge. In Christ. Thank you. He is in charge. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. So, you meet God in Christ. You get eternal life in Christ, not in your works. Say in Christ. Say in Christ. Say not by works. So 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4. Chapter 8, verse 4. Let me know when you are there. First Corinthians 8, 4. Are you there? Okay, one to go. Let's read. Yes, sirs. Yes. 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 But to us, there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all what? Things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. That's a lot. Again, so is he saying, are we denying God? No. Say no, no, no. Say we have one God, right? That is what, the Father, then one Lord. What is his name?
Jesus Christ.
Now said, and by whom all things, right? By whom are what? Look at the Bible. Are what? All things. And we, how? How did we come? How are you saved? Where do you get the blessings of God? In him. Because all things are created in him. And we came out by him. So he's saying God is the Father, but he's saying Jesus is who? His Lord. So if you need anything from the Father, who do you go to? The Lord. Are you with me? You know, you can have, sorry, let me say it this way. These are descriptions. Oh God, you know, we have done explaining Trinity. You meet it in your Breaking the Binding Walls. You meet explaining Trinity, you meet. So I'm not trying to separate Jesus and God. Yes, I'm trying to separate them. I'm doing it too. I'm not trying to separate, yet I'm trying to separate. You get that in other series, our Jesus, everything. We explain to you there. So he's saying we by him. But he said we have one God, the Father, then one Lord, Jesus. No, you can hope, you know, your dad can be the owner of all this building. But sorry, this is a very weak description. But we now have someone called the caretaker. So, who will have the key to all the building? The caretaker. He is in charge, right? He calls the shot, right? So, when we say Jesus is Lord, we are saying, well, anything you want from God, where do you get it? In Christ. That's why we pray in the name of who? Jesus. Are you with me? Hebrews. Thank you. Hebrews.
Say Jesus is Lord. We are saying, well, anything you want from God.
Hebrews. So
that's why we pray in the name of Jesus. 7:25.
You know, this is so important. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore is what? Able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Why? Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hallelujah. Who is able to save? Jesus, why? He ever lives to make intercession for them. And all this is based on the analysis of the priesthood in the Old Testament. Hope you know. Hebrews 7. What he was talking about from the beginning. He started from Melchizedek, went to a running priesthood. Then he now used tithing. And we say, yes, the New Testament is priest tithing. You are weak. Not just weak, you are tired. He's using tithing to authenticate or to tell you the superiority of the priesthood of Jesus, which Melchizedek mirrored over the Levitical priesthood, which Aaron mirrored. That's why we say, maybe in verse 12, say, Hebrews 7, is it verse 11? If therefore what? Perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, what further need was there for an high priest to come after the order of what? Melchizedek, and not to be called after the order of Aaron. So, tithing was used to simply tell you that Jesus is what Levitical priesthood are only trying to mirror. That means you can never be justified before God based on works. All the works tithing every day did then was just to mirror a perfect offering. Any offering you do every day is not perfect. Any confession of sin you ask for every day is Null and void. You are just not serious. You mean in the Old Testament, they ask how many times? Once in a year. And you are doing your own every morning devotion. God, every sin I've committed in my thoughts, in my behavior, in my action, you better get a teaching of God's word and let your life follow God's plan for your life. Rather than thinking, confessing sins every day is a way to perfection. Get the church and let and be well taught. Praise God. Some people will think that just to we go once I say, don't worry. Once I go to my knees before my father, you are tired. Is it only your father? So once I just don't worry. Okay, so don't worry. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? Hills, right? Right now, you're looking at hills. Huh? I see the stars, I see the rolling thunder, it grew. Then sing my soul, and they will be so devoted to nonsense. Why will I come from Abuja to Bobo you? No, it's nonsense. Read it very well. He said, when that scripture will be quoted in Hebrews 2, it said, when I see everything, I see mountains, I see stars, I see sea, what is man that you are still mindful of him? That means, despite all these big gargantuan things, your mind is not on them. Your mind is on man. Why? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, God's mind is full of me. Say, just like that. Let's continue. So, see, please, learn God's word, though. Imagine, God became a man, and he was telling everybody, he said, don't you read? He said, have you not read? Have you not read? Have you not read? Some people say, we can divorce our wife for anything. Say, eh. Say, why didn't you read what Moses said in Genesis before reading Deuteronomy? Say, if you have read everything, you will not throw away your wife for any reason. So those people that it was written to, Moses wrote those things for those who are going to hell. Are you going to hell? So why are you copying? Say Moses, because of the what? Hardness of your heart. Allow them to throw it because they are already throwing away God. So to show that you have divorced God, don't worry. Throw away. Amen. You don't know? To show that they have already rejected God. So you, that you're not rejecting God, why are you trying to look? Because your eyes is eyeing another girl. And you are trying to look for a scripture to back up lust and... Sorry, let me calm down. Okay, back to Hebrews. No, it's getting dark. Hebrews 8 now. Hebrews 8. And no, that thing caught my attention. I just was saying, have you not read? Have you not read? See? That means everything he was saying was not new. If they have read very well, you will not kill one goat. You rather use it for what? Isewu or what? Pepper soup. Goat is for pepper soup, not for offering. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Hebrews 8, verse 6. But now, as he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator. Say the mediator. Of a better covenant. Hallelujah. Which was established upon what? Better promises. See Hebrews 9:15. Hebrews 9:15. Just looking at some scriptures here. So you are seeing that he is in charge. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You have not believed a fable. We are not here. Yes, everybody may be running up and down thinking like there is no God. Like, don't worry. All we have in this world is, we go there. Hey, let's enjoy our life. Let's nothing. It's Friday. Party. Tango, TGIF, Abi, whatever. Like, you know, let's relax now. We are used now. This is our time. You soon see your time. He's there in the Bible. Your time is in hell. You see, he's in hell. Hebrews 9:15. And for this cause, let's read, help me. He is the mediator of the New Testament. That by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressors that were under the First Testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Trust me, good works don't save. I know you are preaching to people that say, but I'm a fine boy, I'm a fine girl. Nothing. I'm good. You're good. You will rot in hell as a good girl. Only Jesus saves. Amen, amen. Say only Jesus saves. Our good conduct is to mirror his goodness, not as a requirement or as a boast before God. Praise God. Every other religion in the world, they preach morality. You get that, Sas? Yeah, let's progress. See Hebrews 12:22. Hebrews 12:22. Look at your Bible. But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, to the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect. Let's read 24. One to go. Mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, I've come to Christ. Oh, go to John 17. What of knowing God? Knowing God is Christ-based. Yes. Knowing God too is Christ-based. Is Christ-based. Knowing God is Christ-based. John 17, verse 3. You can know everything except God. John 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and who? Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. See that? That they might know thee, the only true God. That means, immediately you hear that word, okay, I'm going to know you, the only true God. Say, don't forget, hold on. How do you know the only true God? Check whom he sent. Jesus Christ, whom he sent. So, how do you know the only true God? True Christ. Say, true Christ. Matthew 11. This one will make it very clearer to you. Please don't get tired at all. I'm just like 30% done. But don't worry, we'll be done before 8. Matthew 11:25. At that time, open your Bible. Please open. Matthew 11, are you there? Verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Who are the wise and prudent in that context? Those who are trying to find God in astrology, in religionology, in astronomy, in reasoning, in atheism. Just write down anyone you can remember. In reasoning, in science, in hypothesis, in Charles Darwin theory, Abby, in evolution. In Bing Bang Boong. Hope you know the meaning of Bing Bang. Big Bang says, how did God create the world? God just not God. How was the world created? That there was a bomb. A big bomb. Boom. And we say, okay, Big Bang, come. Throw a bomb in, let me not mention a country before they track me down here. Let me use my town. Throw a bomb into Ekiti State. And let's, after the dust settle, Ekiti State should now become what? Dubai. Are you with me? Go and check all the places they have fought. Syria or Afghanistan. How has destruction produced goodness before? And man, because they are so deluded, Romans 1 says, as they have refused to retain God, where? You know, if you don't know that scripture, you cannot pass. What's that? <sorry. laughs> As they have refused to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up. Say, okay, you can go. Go and think. But that's why people will put a shikri on the floor. They will bow down to it. That's why some countries will be doing World Sex Day. And they will be bowing down to rubbish. You know, it's funny. When you bust, you use your hand to put everything together and you bow. That means unbelief affects your brain. Why Yahweh? When God gave you a clear revelation of himself, say, no, don't worry, that one is not enough. You will worship cockroach. Cockroach. Imagine people worshiping cow. Cow! Cow! Oh God, cow. No more. Matthew 11, 25. Matthew 11, 25. At that time, and some of them, they would disdain, say, no, how can God become a man? Yet, Tell them, which one is offending you? What, becoming a man or man? Everything. Yet, them, go and shake their DP. Go and see how they celebrate C. Ronaldo. So, C. Ronaldo is an angel, right? Those are things that we judge on people. Say, God, say, come. See how, it's not every day you talk about C. Ronaldo. Okay, and is he a spirit? Is he an angel? No, he's a man. So, I became a man. You are a disdaining man. Think. Matthew 11:25. Everything I'm saying, they are also your tools in evangelism, okay? So Matthew 11:25, let's read, help me. Yes, at that time, Jesus answered, okay, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and thou hast revealed them unto what? Babes. So, babes there will mean the man that simply received God's evidence, a baby. Anything you give him, you want to take, you will find God in Christ. A man that is simple enough to receive God's evidence of himself. Oh, let me give you a bit into our Jesus that we teach soon before the end of this year. We believe God. Think about it. Every generation wrote about Jesus. You may not understand the weight of what I just said. Imagine everybody from creation talking about a man. Talking about a man. It becomes even so serious that what's today's date? 28, Abby? October? Which year? Sorry, September? Which year? 2020 what? AD. What is the meaning of AD? Death of my father? Of who? Of Christ. You must believe God. See, judgment will be heavy. Evidence are everywhere. God gave the whole world evidence. So, see, what I'm trying to say is that every generation spoke about the same man. And when he came, they had the record. This is what I'm saying. History had the record of his coming. Not even the Bible. History. They will tell you, yes, we know there was a Jesus. And they will believe, and they believe that they preach almost everything. Even some church of Satan, they preach almost everything he said until resurrection. When you get to resurrection, say, no, leave that one. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Every generation gave witness of him. People prophesied about him. You say, but it's only Jews. No, Jews, God. Is Jethro. Is he a Jew? Is Assyria that received the preaching of Jonah. Are they Jews? King of Babylon. Is he a Jew? So much. Okay. Let me progress. So, see verse 26 now. Even so, Father, for so it seems good in thy sight. See that again. For so, Father, for so it seems good in thy sight. That is predestination again. What's the meaning of that? This is my pleasure. In whom I am well pleased. This is where you will find me. So he said, it seems good in the sight of God that he should be revealed in Christ. Okay. In case you don't get what I'm saying, since read verse 27. 27. Let me wait for you. 27. 1, 2, go. Yes, sir. Yes. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the words the Son will reveal him. Hallelujah. Is that clear? So based on this, now say in verse 28, 1, 2, go. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you. So what is rest in that context? Come on. Well, no, look at the verse before. Please look at the Bible. In the verse before, what is rest in that place? To know the Father. Amen. What is the labor? What is labor? Every lady. Trying to know God. That means that's analysis. Why are we here? Why are we believers? Why are we doing all this? That's mental striving to know God. He said, come unto me. I will give you what? rest. So that rest, is he talking about a bountiful bank account? No. The rest is you will be satisfied, the not accurate knowledge of the Father. It's found in me. Amen, amen. Praise God. Thank you. So he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy. Yeah. So he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Trust me, it's easier to know God in Christ. If you're a Muslim, before you pray, what will you do? Wash your head, wash your toe, wash your bum bum, right? Praise God. Ladies, where will you pray? In your room. You dare not pray to God where everybody else is what? Is praying, right? Praise God. You don't know? And they don't go to Max. I don't know. Sorry, I don't know. They go? No. Okay, maybe they have their own place. You hardly see them. Separate. Like we have? No? Okay, all of you are mixed. Glory to God. Remember your old church? Where would sisters sit? Brothers, why? God is the right hand of God, something like that. Sisters are where? The left? We do whatever that means. Okay, 1 Timothy now, 2. Say eternal life is Christ based. So all those questions, you say, why are we here? The answer is found in Christ. What is man? The answer is found in Christ. Why the creation of heaven and earth? The answer is found in Christ. Is found in Christ. What is the purpose of man? The answer is found in Christ. Is found in Christ. In fact, why do men die? The answer is yet Christ-based. Right, that last one. Why do men die? The answer is yet Christ-based. Christ-based. Let me give you the explanation of that. So, physical death was instituted based on the rejection of the Christ. Write that down. Not by God, though, okay? Physical death, sorry, I will smoothen the grammars in other series. So, physical death was instituted based on the rejection of the Christ. Therefore, immortality will be a result of accepting the Christ. Immortality will also be a result of accepting the Christ. Thank you. 1 Timothy 2:6 now. Now, I was explaining 2:5 since that this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. Who will have all men to be saved, come to the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. Say one mediator. Say one mediator. Say one bus stop. That's it. The bus stop of God. After you have searched yourself, searched atheism, searched religion, searched everything, the singular bus stop is where? It's Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's progress. So, verse 6 now. Who gave himself a ransom for all? Wow. To be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, and I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I think Sister Peculiar read that earlier. So go back to verse 6. He said, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And CEV says, God showed us this as the right time. And that Good News Bible says, who gave himself to redeem the old human race. That was the proof at the right time that God wants everyone to be saved. I take that again in Good News Bible. It says, who gave himself to redeem the old human race. That was the proof at the right time that God wants everyone to be saved. So, see that out. He said, in due time. He said, in due time. So that's why we add, it's from that word that is called, and that we call the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord. This has been prophesied since Genesis, from the beginning. God will say the same thing for thousands of years to assure man that this is the main deal. Why was there so much repetition, so much prophecy? Also for your assurance. For your assurance. For your assurance. is part of the appeal of God. His bell, write this down, it's figurative. His bell has been ringing before the event. His bell. Bagang, bagang, bagang. The bell of Christ rang in Genesis. Although he came years later, but the bell rang in Exodus, rang in Leviticus, rang in Deuteronomy, rang in Joshua, rang in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, Judges, Kings, Psalm, Proverbs, Extra, Nehemiah, everything. The bell has been ringing. Pre-antediluvian, whatever they call all those things, before Noah, after Noah, the bell has been ringing. Praise God. So, now, let's progress. Let's check. That should be Isaiah 61. Don't get tired. Isaiah 61. Verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Verse 2, one to go. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen, amen. You can stop there. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What is the meaning of that year? It's an Old Testament analogy. Leviticus 25. I want you to read it yourself. It's not always good to paraphrase Bible for saints. Let them read it. Read, 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 read. And just quote sparingly. Leviticus 25, verse 8. Of course, if in that Isaiah 61, verse 2, the acceptable year of the law and the day of vengeance of our God, which is a result of rejecting that acceptable year of our God. Oh God, oh God, oh God. I'll come back to that. Let me first go to Leviticus 25, verse 8. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years. Are you there? Okay, please, it's a long read. Let's take it together. Thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7, and the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years, right? Verse 9, thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month in the day of atonement. Shall you make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land? Next verse. You shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto inhabitants. Therefore, it shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself, nor gather the grapes in it of thy wine undress. Verse 12, yes. It is the jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this jubilee, you shall return unto every man unto his. Hallelujah. And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbors. According to the number of years of the fruits, he shall sell unto thee. See verse 16. According to the multitude of years, thou shalt increase the price thereof. According to the fewness of the years, thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of the years of the fruit, does it sell unto thee. I will explain that not now. Next verse, yes. Oppress one another. But thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God. Next verse. Verse 19, yes, and the land shall yield our fruits, and you shall eat your field and dwell therein in safety. And if shall say, what shall we eat in the 7th year? Behold, we sow not nor gather in our increase. Verse 21, yes, then are we what? Glory! Then I will what? Command my blessing upon you in the 6th year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years, and you shall sow. Hallelujah. Okay, go back again to Isaiah 61 and verse 2. So, see verse 2. To proclaim the what? to proclaim the what? And the. What is the difference between a year and a day? Hello. When he is talking about the acceptable, did he say day? He said year. When he will be talking about judgment, what did he use? Day. Which one is more, God's mercies or the wrath? So, what is the wrath? A rejection of mercy. Because both year and day, they are a function of time. I'm now coming to my message today. Right? Year, right? And day, they are both a function of what? Time. But he said, the acceptable one, oh, don't worry, is a year. But the day of vengeance, just the day. Day. Giving you an estimation of God's mercy. Okay. So, it's the year. It's the year in which all debts are rendered null and void. Wow. A year that no one is considered guilty. Wow. Wow. The year of God. The year of God. A year different from the calendar year. You can't do that today. That's in that. See, because our current calendar is not the Jewish calendar. So you cannot number 50 years again. So a year that no one is considered guilty. The year of God. That 3 days and three nights of Christ in hell is like a realm where there is no time. Where time does not work. Romans 4. Hallelujah. Okay, Romans 4, verse 24. Are you there? Okay. But for us also, of course, I ought to have read from verse 1. We're talking about, okay, Abraham was justified by faith. Now say, it was not only imputed to Abraham alone, 24 now, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we, come on, if we believed on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our. Verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Through our Lord, by whom also we have access by faith into what? Jubilee. Into this grace, wherein we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Tell your neighbor, say we are there already. Say we are in the year of Jubilee. So we are in that year. We are born from there. Write that down. We are born from there. We exist from there. We live from there. We are born from there. We live from there. We exist from there. We exist forgiven eternally. It's God's own timing, not calendar timing. It's God's own timing. It's God's own timing. Have you heard before that they say God's timing is the best? Hello? Have you heard that God's time is the best before?
Yes, sir.
So, anybody tell you that God's time is the best? Reply, yes. Say yes, and God's time is Christ. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Amen. Say God's time is the best. Say yes, you are right, and God's time is Christ. You must believe God, though. That is what is called the acceptable year duration. Not talking about this one. Talking about a place, a man. Acts chapter 17. Acts 17. This is why you cannot know God in astrology, in philosophy. Jesus told them, say, okay, you guys can read this. You can know when rain is coming. When you say there's a cloud, you say, okay, rain is coming. Why can't you discern the times? Why can't you discern these times? Oh, see Acts 17. Let's see some philosophers. See how Paul addressed them from verse 17. Philosophers, therefore, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with devout men, and in the market daily with them that met him. Verse 18, then, certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and they said, what will this babbler say? Well, that say he seems to be a setter of some strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection of the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. Okay, for thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, we will know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spend their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new stuff. Well, verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, please look at the Bible, and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotion. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Verse 25, yes? Worship with men's hand, as though he needed anything, neither seeing give it to all life and breath and all things. Next verse, and have made of one blood all nation of men, for to dwell on the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed and the bonds of their habitation. 27, that they should seek the Lord, if aptly they might feel after him and find him, though he be not what? Far from. Write this down again. God, man's lifespan is to know God. That's why it's better you know him early, so he can walk in his will and be rewarded and be commended. Man's lifespan is to know God. I shall see one elderly man that shall come to your church. I love that man so much. And then I see your picture. I say, Pastor Efe, and this is Grandpa. Awesome. Man, that means before you are done, better know God. I'm getting there. See verse 28. For in him we live and move, and we also have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. 29. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art and a man's device. 30. Let's really want to go, yes? And the times of his ignorance, God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Why? 31. Appointed a day in which he will judge the world in. Remember the day of vengeance, what? Of our God, right? In Isaiah 61. A day. Okay. Because he had appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. How? By that man whom he had ordained. Amen. Wherefore he had given assurance unto all men in that he had raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. And that was the dividing line. See next verse. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, others say, we will hear thee again of this matter. Write this down. The resurrection is God's assurance to all. That's God's joker. God's joker card. God's joker card. God's joker card. The resurrection. This is what we are getting all men committed to. God gave a proof to the whole world that he raised him from the dead. God gave a proof to the whole world that he raised him from the dead. John 14:12. He gave proof to the whole world. Not just by the scripture. See John 14 verse 12. Thank you. Well done. John 14:12. Some of you go to places where you just, before you, in the whole Sunday service, you open 1 and 2.5 scripture and say you have gone to church. Sad. I'm not a Christian though. I'm not. I'm not saying I'm not. Say, who are you to say I'm not a Christian? Eh? Sorry, I'm the one preaching today. Come and preach tomorrow. I'm not a Christian. I'm not. You're playing. Playing Christianity. When he told me, a man told me, where I go, say, well, don't worry. You're someone. You should package yourself. See, I've even forgotten to change my shoe. So you should package yourself. You're someone. 45 minutes. Straight to the point. Precise. And you are talking to people who have accumulated Don Jazzy, Jazzy John, where's Two Face, Idibia, where's Two and Pack, yes. People have accumulated junks, people have overread false evidences about Christianity on the internet, and you want to remove all that with 45 minutes spiraling preaching in a week. As they leave the church, in fact, after they take selfie after service, I forgot. You can like see as you are now. You can't go home. You can't just go home and you are not thinking about this. It must be long. Are you with me? It must be laborious. Praise God. Where did I call last, Jared? John 14, yes, verse 12. Let's read verse 12. Want to go? Help me. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he what? And greater works than this shall he do. Why? Write this down. Miracles are proofs of his resurrection. Anytime we do a miracle in the name of Jesus, what are we saying? He's not dead. What are we saying? He's not dead. Praise God. Say, I do miracles. Miracles are not for show. They are also teaching ministry. They are to remind the world God raised him from the dead. He is not dead. The name of a dead man cannot bring up a layman at the beautiful gate. No. If he's dead, the name will do nothing. Try calling the name of your grandfather and that is dead to do something. No, nothing will happen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Say he's alive. Say he lives. Show that Jesus is alive. Say signs and wonders are further proofs of his resurrection. Say acts of power are further validation that he is risen. That's why you don't teach miracles on their own. You don't have a miracle-centered ministry. No! No! You will just build Kwashoko. Kwashoko. Miracle cannot be the high point of your ministry. No. Healings cannot be the high point of your ministry. They are all towards an end. Yes, God heals the sick. And we do too. Amen, amen. But Matthew 8, that should be your own style too. He said, he healed them, all them. See, let me not paraphrase. It's not good to paraphrase. That should be Matthew 8. It should be 6, 12 or 17. Matthew 8. Okay. 16 and 17. Let me read 16. You read 17 for me. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were what? Possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with his word and healed all that were sick. Why? 17. Want to go? That it might be fulfilled. Isaiah the prophet saying, himself bore our infirmities and took our sicknesses. Now, that verse 17 is talking about your sin. If you read Isaiah 53, it's sin-based. He now said he is healing our body to show that he is the one that will forgive our sin. Are you with me? So when we are preaching, healing the sick, we are further saying, yeah, he can forgive your sin. is also a message for the centered on the love of God. Praise God. So when you just make us happen, people are excited, and that's the end. You are not serving Jesus. You are still serving yourself in Christ. Serve Christ in Christ. Don't serve yourself in Christ. Serve Christ in Christ. Thank you. Let's progress. So, miracles are proofs. Are proofs that He lives in us. Say, He lives in me. Say, He lives in me. Say, I have a living Savior. Say, I have a present Lord. Okay, now go back to Genesis 1 now. Okay. Genesis 1 now. Now be a bit fast. In the beginning, God created, verse 1, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, okay, and evening and morning were the first day. Now see that He said, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 1 is not yet talking about the physical cosmos. Okay, if you now read later, you see where the physical cosmos was created. So write this down. There is a planned work that we have before time. There's a planned work. Say, a planned work. There's a planned work that we have before time. A planned work that we have before time. Let me go to verse 26. Even before time was created, that's better. Before time was created, we have a work. Say, we have a work. See 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air. So verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He in male and female created He them. Verse 28. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Go to Matthew 28. See how Jesus interpreted this same scripture about Himself. Matthew 28:18. Matthew 28:18. Ensure you are there. Okay. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Say, all power. All power is given unto me. Where? In heaven and in earth. Meaning, write this down. The authority to bind God and man together is found in me. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It's not talking about there's some power in the celestial and terrestrial. No, he's talking about God and man. Don't forget, Genesis said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That means, in the beginning, write down as fast as you can, in the beginning, God created a union, meaning heaven and earth are to be joined. God created heaven and earth is to be joined. Where will they meet? In Christ. God and man, where will they meet? In Christ. So, based on this, we have an assignment. Thank you. So this is making Genesis 1 clear. All power is given unto me right now in heaven and on earth. Don't look at the physical to interpret heaven and earth here. Look at the scripture. Look at what the scripture used heaven and earth to describe. God and man. So you have an assignment that existed before time, before the oldest technology. You have an assignment. You have an assignment that existed before time, before the oldest of technologies. You have a job. You have a job. You have a job. 19 of Matthew 28 now. This is the job of all jobs. This is why your career today cannot come first. Amen, amen. before the first professor was prophesied or whatever, before the first course was invented, before time. Say before time. See 19 now. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen, amen. I'll get to that in another series. So, all God will do on earth will be based on what he did in Christ. Write that down. All God will do on earth. All God will do on earth will be based on what he did in Christ. Today, right now, what is God interested in? God is not interested in who wins between PDP and APC. No, no. Some prophets have gone into prophesying. Just say you like somebody and it's okay. It's not your duty to prophesy. All those national prophecy for the nations, the political prophecies, you are outside your portfolio. Recommend the preacher's portfolio for them. Go and get it and know what God has given you. Amen, amen. Praise God. You know, some people, you know, at times you must be contented. You must be satisfied. When you say, but the prophecy came to pass, you are tired. That it come to pass does not mean it's of God. You don't know? That should be Pastor Joe. Is that Deuteronomy chapter 4? When he say if there be a vision, a diviner or a seer, and he makes a sign, and the sign come to pass, and he now say, let us go and serve other gods, say, don't follow him. The sign came to pass, but after the sign is said, let's go and what follow other gods. Say, don't follow him. For the Lord your God is coming to prove you if you will obey him and do his will. So that something come to pass does not mean it's of God. It does not mean that it's of God. Balaam's donkey spoke, and that was not making him a man of God. Abi? Glory to God, though. So at times some prophecies does not make some people better than a donkey. You say it comes like, donkey spoke and he's right. So what else? But donkey will not preach the gospel. Praise God. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to sob anybody. So God's work on earth is that resurrection of Jesus. Please write that down. That's God's work on earth. That's what God did in Christ. The resurrection of Jesus. Now, preachers is to change the world based on that one event. Thank you. Preachers are now to change the world based on the resurrection of Jesus. Preachers are now to change the whole world based on what? The resurrection of Jesus. Based on that resurrection of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. Sorry, I'm beyond halfway. Racing now. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 12. Let me say something now about death and immortality. So, we say we are called to change the world because he is risen. Oh, God. 1 Corinthians 15. That's the work. That's the job. That's the job. Say, that's the job. That's the job. That's why we are strict on doctrine. That's why we are strict on what is being preached. We are strict. We are precise. We don't give room for say what you like. We don't give room for if you know me on a normal day, on a very calm day, every day is calm, on a very normal day, I'm not interested in fighting anybody. But God became a man, and it's not a taboo. He died for our sins, it's not a taboo. He rose from the dead, it's not a taboo. I'm not an atheist, I believe the scriptures. God gave us an assignment, and I believe the scriptures. Tell anyone, say, God gave me an assignment, and I believe the scriptures. Say, God gave me an assignment, and I can't deny it. Say, I've seen God's glory. It's in Christ. I can't deny it. To deny the preaching of the gospel, to deny that responsibility, is to deny his resurrection. You are trying to say you didn't see God. You are lying. You are lying. When you deny the assignment, when you refuse to take up your cross, follow him. Somebody think that is legalism. No, it's not. So 1 Corinthians 15 verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, I will say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead. But if the if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is not Christ risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, then your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sin. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. For if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. 20, but now, hallelujah, is Christ risen. Amen, amen. From the dead, and is become the first fruit of them that slept. Let's read verse 21. Help me. Want to go? By man come also the resurrection of the dead. 22, for he has in Adam all die, even so in Christ. Okay, we explain in verse 22. You should understand that in Adam all die. He's talking about the human body, okay? So in Christ, all shall be made, and all that believe will have a glorified body. That was the context. 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, after that, they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put down all enemies under his feet. 26, want to go? The last enemy that shall be destroyed is... Okay, hold on there. Go back to Genesis 3, 17. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. What is death? That which limits... That which cuts short. Let's write that down. That which limits. That which cuts short. Write down those two definitions. It's a limiting factor. It's that which cuts short. So, okay, go to Genesis 3:17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, thou and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cause is the ground for thy sake. In the sorrow, thou shalt eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. Verse 19, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return to the ground, for out of it was thou taken. For thus art thou, and what? For thus shalt thou. Look at that phrase there. He said, for out of it was thou taken. He never said, for out of it I made you. Hello, brethren. Can you hear me? Pay attention to that phrase. That will help you with something. Understand Genesis series 1. Uh-huh. Let me not say those ones here. He said, for out of it was thou taken. So, wow. Again, this was written after the event. This was not written as Adam was sinning. No. This was written, in fact, thousands of years after he had sinned. The event has happened before the documentation was made. So, Moses who wrote this already saw that, oh, man will decay back to the dust. So therefore, he is using what he can currently see to speak about what happened. So he is using the present to judge the past. Are you with me? He is not saying God called Adam and he was chanting all this to Adam. Moses was choosing the present to judge what? The past. Oh, was Moses there in the garden? Who wrote the book of Genesis? Moses. Thank you. So, now go to Deuteronomy 3:8, verse 3. I'm explaining a lot. I'm still trying to explain the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death will be swallowed up in victory. Death will be destroyed in Christ. What was he talking about? See Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy father know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by what? by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God doth man live. Wow. Write this down. So, man ought to be sustained by God's word, not by food. Man ought to be sustained. Man's bodies, in fact, ought to be sustained by God's word, not by food. Man's body ought to be sustained by God's word, not by food. What is God's word? Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. What is God's word? Christology. Christ. So he's saying, of course, obviously, you know, if you have a man right now that he didn't eat anything for 10 days, 15 days, 40, 60, 80 days, someday he will drop down, he will die. Because the body of man is now being sustained by food. Why? Write this down. Adam modeled a body that is sustained by the natural. And man inherited that. Adam, he modeled a body that is sustained by the natural. And all men inherited that. So, that is what you inherited in Adam. You didn't inherit Adam's sin. You inherited Adam's what? Body. Say body. Body. Say body. Body. Say Adam's sin is not my sin, no? No. It's not your sin. No. Adam's sin, if you like, you can sin. If you like, you can choose not to sin. It's your choice. But what will you have from that Adam is that natural body. Thank you for getting that. Okay, so please, death is like, you know, it's like, I don't know how to describe it again. It's like calm down. When you calm down, huh? When you say, okay, you know all those films, time bomb, right? Now there's a calm down, calm down. Okay, 10, 9, 8. Okay, the one you are used to, WAEC, right? Where you are writing WAEC, and it's all jump, and then it's mass, which obviously you can't finish unless you are God. Selah, you may finish it. I don't know how you did your own. Okay, mass, which is, you know, it's further mass in jump. That the one we do then. I don't know the one you guys do in these days. So, once you have 5 minutes to stop, what will happen to your heart? Kim. Amen. So that means there is a limitation that is coming. And it's a fraction of time. I will talk a lot on this tomorrow as touching ministry. So time will start to work against man. That was what happened in Genesis 3. Time starts to work against man. What is called eternity? Time is working for man. Hello? What is eternity? That means for. Instead of time to be counting down, how is he counting? He's counting up. Glory, 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 glory. What happens in immortality? Time starts counting up. Okay? What happens in mortality? Time is counting down. It's counting down. It's counting down. So that is not a good news. So that means as you are seeing the seconds, counting, it's no good news. Just come tomorrow. I will explain a lot on that. That one is not good news. It's no good news at all. But to the believer, we have the victory already. Amen, amen? Okay, you see it. So, victory over death is yet victory over time. Victory over death is yet victory over time. Oh, should I say this way? This is no rhema. Please write it down. An event occurred outside time to save us from time. An event. 3 days and three nights. That's all men can say. He went to hell. He rose from the dead. An event occurred outside time to save us from that consequences of what? Of time. So, Deuteronomy chapter 6 now. That is his resurrection. Deuteronomy 6 verse 1. Deuteronomy 6 verse 1. Okay, please focus on this, once you can get this, we just close. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgment which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you may do them in the land whither you go to possess it. Oh, verse 2, that thou mayest fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and all his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's sons, all the days of your what? Life, that and thy days may be what? Amen, amen. So when you obey God's word, what will happen to your days? What's that? Eternal life, immortality. Amen, amen. But see what he said though. He said, obey him all the days of your life. That means, do his will in this life that is counting down, and what will happen? Your life will be what? Prolonged. Do you get that? Do his will in this countdown era, and what will happen? Your life will be what? Prolonged. Eternal life. Eternal life. Immortality. See verse 3. Focus. Now I'm preaching Christ to you from Deuteronomy. See verse 3. Hear therefore, all Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest increase how mightily as the Lord God. Please look at your Bible. That's how this can make sense. Okay? It's boring if you're not. If you're just listening to me, look at it. Let's look at it together. See how I am getting what I'm getting. It's there. There's no fables, no nothing deep here. No vision, no dream, no nothing, nothing. It's Bible. It's written. Say it's written. Thank you. As Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey, in the land, now in Christ, said that you might increase in Christ. That means that you might bear fruit. Be interpreting the verses as I'm interpreting it. That means that you might bear fruit. Let me read verse 3 again. O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that thou may increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers have promised, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. That means there is an increase expected of you in Christ. There is an increase expected of you in Christ. Ministry. Profiting in ministry. Being saved is not the end. There is an increase expected of you in Christ. Now in Christ, you are born again, you are sanctified, you are sealed, you are justified. Now there is an increase expected of you in Christ. See, I'm not a useless believer. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, is one Lord. Mm-hmm. Again. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? Yahweh. Oh, awesome. Come back to that. Verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God where? With all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy... So where should that love of God be found? In your heart. That means believe the gospel. Believe in the Son. Love the Lord thy God. Where? In your heart. Believe in what Christ came to do. He is the Lord thy God. Once you see Lord, who is the own? I'm talking about the man in charge. Praise God. Who is in charge? Christ. You know, we dealt with that earlier, right? That he is in charge. So where do you love him first? Where? In your heart. In your soul. Might is inner. As he's saying, you do nothing but believe. He's first talking about faith in Christ. Now, see verse 6. And this word which I command thee this day shall be where again? In your hearts. Verse 7. And thou shalt teach them how diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and then when thou liest down, and when thou riseth up. Everywhere, every day, teaching cannot be too much. Write that down, capital letters. Teaching Christ cannot be too much. Maybe you don't get what I just read. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Wow. Wow. That means the knowledge of Christ is the duty of man. It's your duty to learn and to dispense. Write that down. The knowledge of Christ is my duty to learn and to dispense. It's my duty. It's my duty. Shall teach your children. And much more. It's your duty to learn. It's your duty to dispense. Tell your neighbor, say teaching cannot be too much. Yo. Of course, I'm not justifying later hours of time. I mean, I know it's late. Some of you may have to go. So, no, that's different. But for you to detest long teaching in your heart, something is wrong. That means you don't know how you are saved. Praise God. Why didn't God give you a key point Bible? No key points. Key point Bible. He gave you a Babio. Amen, amen. You don't know about Babio? Yeah. Stone and Cozum. Big books. Abbots, right? I didn't know what you guys read. Okay, law, you know, law books, big things. How he gave you? Not key points. Say, believer, must study. So, thank you. See verse 8 now. And thou shalt bind them. See this, verse 8. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon your hand. They shall be as what? Frontlets between thy eyes. You put the word here. Are you with me? You put it on your hand, put it on your eyes. Yes. Verse 9. And thou shalt write them upon the post of your house. No, you know what? What are people writing today on the post of your house? Say, blood of Jesus. Or, I'm a dynamite or whatever. I'm a dynamite. It's coming soon. Stuck in a butt. Have it always in your mind, okay? Thank you. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house. And on thy gates, verse 10, and it shall be when the Lord thy God have brought thee into the land which he swore unto thy father. That means when you are saved, okay, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. 11 again, and houses full of all good things which thou wast fillet not, and wells dig which thou wast diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, and when thou shalt have eaten and be. What's that? What is he saying? Come on. What's that again? That's predestination in Christ. He's saying it will not be according to your works. You will get into Christ. Suddenly, you just discover that you are forgiven, you are justified, you are sanctified, you did nothing. You did nothing. He said, when you get to a place, land, right? You didn't sow, right? Yes, you are eating, right? You didn't plant, yes, you are reaping, right? You didn't do anything, you didn't struggle, yes, everything is yours. See, when you get to this place, that means when you, that's why we have in Christ, we have liberty. Very clear. For the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Forgiven. Colossians 2. He has he nailed to the cross all the ordinances that are against us. He took them out of the way, nailed into his cross. I won't spoil principalities and powers. He made an open show of them openly. Colossians 1, who has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. In whom? Say in whom. You didn't work for your salvation. You didn't work for your redemption. In whom? Suddenly, you just heard that all I did is I believe in Christ. And God said, yes, don't worry. You have redemption. You are satisfied. You are sanctified. You are holy. Heaven is yours. You are forgiven. Nobody cannot be possessed by demons again. Blah, blah, blah. All in Christ. So he's saying, after you have gotten to this state, next verse, 12, want to go, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. This is also in 2 Peter chapter 1. Say that forgetted these things, how do you put it again? He has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Let me not go there. So then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. We have believers today living like an atheist. There are plenty. Plenty. Come for teaching. You are not interested again. Yet you are saved. Ministry time. Evangelism time. And you are acting like it's a burden. It's because you have forgotten what Christ did for you. Next verse 13, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shall swear by his name. Verse 14, you shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. This is still valid today. You must not have another obsession. Not your job, not your relationship. So to some people, they will hear you until you talk about, until you tell them that you ought to You should only get involved in a man or a lady in ministry. They will just flare up. Why now? It's not my life. No, it's not your life. It's Christ's life. Amen, amen. Say it's Christ's life. So that is still valid today. He said, you shall not go after other gods. What the unbelievers is using as their obsession, they cannot be your obsession. 15 minutes more and I will close. What the unbelievers are using as their obsession, as their dire pursuit. People now get married and start saying, Emi leni taye tiro, Iwe ko le down konre she. That's serious. That's marriage. You can't read. You will not have another obsession. 15. For the Lord thy God is jealous, is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. That is just because all will be judged because of judgments. Verse 16. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. Verse 17. You shall diligently, Massah is Exodus 17. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimony and his statutes which he had commanded thee. 18. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers, to cast out all thy enemies before thee, as the Lord has spoken. That's a repetition. Verse 20 now. Okay, and when thy son, please let's read verse 20 together. Help me. Want to go? Yes. Ask thee in time to come, saying, what meaneth this testimony and status and judgment which the Lord thy God hath commanded you? 21. Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we are Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a hallelujah. Praise God. You know, we have a song in choir. It's not just a story, it's a sound of victory. We are not the wearied, we are the men with the victory. No retreat, no surrender. Victory is ours forever. We fill the earth. He said, God bless you. With his glory, we are the man with the victory. Amen.
Amen.
So he's saying it's not just a story. Say it's a sound of victory. How do you feel when your club wins? Glory, right? You may not say glory. You just say, wow, anything you say in the football pitch, awesome. But so he's saying, when your son asks you, why are you always going to church? My baby has asked me, say, daddy, church again, why? Abi, I remember that day. Say, why? Say, when you ask such question, ensure you take it line upon line. Tell them of what happened to you. Hallelujah. Tell them of the redemption story. It must not end with you. Amen, amen. Say, continuity is of God. What are you doing with family members that are not born again? Yes, you are collecting their money. Uncle, it's me again. And he's not a believer. And you don't take time to share the gospel. Why? You are wicked. You want his money and you don't want him in heaven. You are wicked. Come on, you repent. I'm not saying, say, uncle, until you... You'll be hungry. But I'm saying, you know... I've seen preachers, that when they are going to preach, when they are going for cross-country evangelism, etc., they will leave their children at home. I mean, not young children. Why? They will leave them at home playing game. Such is denying the message. You are denying that vitality. So, of course, what you are seeing there is more than your nuclear family. It's talking about discipleship. Say discipleship. Awesome. So, and the Lord thy God, he said, we are then, you shall say unto them, we are Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, talking about what God did on sin and death, and upon all the household before our eyes, and he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in. Wow. He brought us out, that in my words, he brought us out that might world. Amen, amen. Say, I'm out of darkness. Say, now I am in. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
To give to thee the land which he swore unto our fathers. From Genesis 24. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. 25. And shall be our righteousness. Glory to God. It shall be our what? If we obey, observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he had commanded us. Where are you to observe the commandments? In your hearts. Remember? So he said, that will be your what? Righteousness. Amen, amen. Praise God. Say, I believe in Christ. I believe in Christ. I am righteous. Hallelujah. Say, it's my righteousness. Hallelujah. Have you seen that Paul was not just writing from the blues, right? He's writing from there. It's there. It's there. You must read. You must read. Now, let's start closing. Glory to God. So, he's saying they have a duty to influence generations after them. They have a duty. They have a duty. Just one more scripture and I'll be done. They have a duty to influence generations after them. Vanessa, in 3 minutes, come on, help me to play the keyboard. Oh, just 3 minutes. Once you see 3 minutes by watch, come and play. So they have a duty to influence generations after them. Discipleship. So, yes, there's a victory we are waiting for. That's what we call victory over death. Victory over death. Immortality. Immortality. But don't worry, Christ already went into that realm of death. And he got the victory for you already. Amen, amen. So, I believe a day is coming that time will no longer work against you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A time is coming that time will no longer be a cast down. It will be a cast up. Amen. That is what he did for you when he died on the cross. When he went to hell. When he rose again. And he gave you his spirit. Come to that and withdraw from ministry. Please don't. That means you don't know what you have. God has swallowed up mortality. And you will see it in his glorification, in your glorification. It's done. It's done. That's why it's saying 15:58, 1 Corinthians, be therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain things, immortality. Context of that chapter. Hallelujah. Praise God. So don't allow mortality things around mortality to take you down. You have a duty ahead of you. You don't have money, therefore you can't study. Before you read to the next thing, you are remembering your account balance. Before you are remembering, oh God, my body, oh God, this yearly thing, or whatever. No, don't succumb to it. Pick yourself up. Run again. Run again. Run again. Run again. Run again. Run again. Because you got the victory. Because you got the victory. Because you will laugh last. That's all. That's how Pastor Adeboye will put it. Say, you will laugh. You will laugh last. Hallelujah. Say, even over this body, I will laugh last. That's why in the church, the gift of healings are available. So when the healing happens and when he's on the way, when it happens and when he's on the way, my disposition towards ministry is the same. I beg of you, don't allow mortality to make you change your persuasion. Immortality is waiting for you. Don't allow mortality to make you change your persuasion. Immortality is already waiting for you. It's waiting for you. You are in Christ. The victory is yours already. Now you have obeyed the gospel in your heart. Your days are auto-prolonged. You can't change that. Why we are laboring right now is for excellence inside what? Excellency. Amen. Greatness inside greatness. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, again, we must be smarter than mortality. We must set things in motion for the word of God not to go into extinction, even when we are done. You must set things in motion. Why are we preaching like this? Because we are looking at ages after us. The people who are bastardizing the word of God for gain, they are so short-sighted. You forget you will not live forever. You forget one day you'll be no more. People that sees the truth in God's word, yeah, you decide to follow mammon, decide to follow your own lust. You decide to use saints to build an empire, to build what will pass away. You forget that one day you will pass away. See, we must be smarter than mortality. We must set things in motion for the world not to go into extinction even when we are no more. We must not cajole the coming generation with drama. Imagine it. With choreography. With comedian. Comedian. When did this get into the church? Comedy. Comedy! In church. In church. And we say, ah, don't worry, it's because you cannot afford them. You are stupid. Afford? We are talking about eternal life. You are saying you cannot afford something. Is that the subject matter? Hallelujah. You must not cajole the coming generation. No, you must not give them a watered down version of the gospel. No, sir. Ha. Say no, sir. Say no, sir. See, you don't love Jesus when you insulate the coming generation from the labor you went through. You don't love Jesus. You don't love Jesus. When you prayed all night, you fasted, you studied God's word, and you are handing over a watered down version of the same reality, it means you don't love God. You don't love God. You don't love God. See, the age is counting. The age is counting. Everything else declines from age to age. Have you observed? Everything else declines from age to age. Fashion. Look at fashion. Look at the fashion world. The skirt, it keeps jumping up, right? Uh-huh. Look at the greeting, respect. Now, you can wake up and say, that is short no kuswabi from the normal culture. Everything else is changing. The age, everything is changing. The TV is getting this smaller or flatter now. Yeah, remember those days, Fedeco, TV, it had a cathode ray tube at the back. The big cathode ray tube, as big as this, firing electrons at you, and you don't know. Then now the thing is like this. I mean, now it's getting better. So when all these things are happening around you, the buildings are getting taller, right? Now we have skyscraper. So the tallest building right now, what, how many stories? I don't know. 110? I think there's 150 already in Dubai or something like that. In UAE. Skyscraper, they are getting taller. I beg you, the gospel must not get taller. It must not get shorter. It must not swing with the age. Joshua say, if everybody decides not to follow God, say, as for me and my house, I will stick with the same thing. As for me and my house. As for me and my house. This is the creed of the Edifying Assembly. That we are not going to follow the times. We are not going to follow what is raining. We are not going to follow what is working. Say, what is working? Like, glory to God, we'll be starting, the Edifying Assembly will be starting in Asaba. This week. And lady of God that went, when she went a while ago, preaching on the street, see, some people told her, say, this thing you are saying, say, cannot work here. Say, why? Say, no, what works here is, you know, your church, everything rocked. First time I package, what is it, Pastor Joel? 5,000 naira and a tuba of yam. Wow. I say, wow. First time I package, 5K. And a tuba of yam. I will be a first timer every Sunday. By the power of makeup, right? You change your appearance again. It's sad, actually. It's sad. When we cannot put the appeal of God in our mouths, we are using money to entice people to God. Sad. I'd rather die than follow that. Sad. From where to where? Imagine Paul in that church. Hey,
to entice people. Say, if you don't have jacuzzi, everything is colorful, thick everywhere. Say, they won't come. Say, don't worry, we are not looking for those ones. You know, when in that parable, maybe I get there tomorrow. When he said, when the word went to them that are bidding, and they say, no, I'm busy. They don't worry. Go to the highways. Go and find the area boys. Go and find the robbers. Glory! He said, bring them in and let my house be filled. In fact, in that Bible, we say, both good and bad, bring them. Don't bow to their standard. Don't bow. Let everything else change. Peter said, the word passeth away and the glory thereof. There was a time that, you know what is called Akpoche? You know Akpoche? It's one of those, now, nobody uses it again. The time it is, it says, put court off yard, I'll be sorry, fled, sorry. One thing is raining. Say this, the rain thing. In 10 years to come, all your phones today to be like Kilele. Imagine somebody is carrying, I saw somebody with one big thing in this church today. One big hammer, like Nokia 3310. Saw something, maybe it's at the back there, or somebody there, somebody. Today is obsolete. So why are you pursuing that? Why are you calling that the glory of God? We are talking about a glory that existed before the first building was raised. The glory that Abraham had when he was living in an ox. H-U-T. H-U-T. The glory that is before there is a car. Before there is a third road. Before there is a university degree. That's what we are talking about. A glory in God. A glory in God. When you choose to substitute eternity for temporal. How smart are you? No, you are not. Oh, you are not. You are not. You are not. Let them tell you. No. No. This our age is different. It's a computer age. Now church can be online, be on your cushion, and be in service. Brethren, Christianity is older than everything. It's older. It's older. It's older. The gospel and its culture must not change. Prayers must be prayers. Heartfelt. Bible study must be Bible study. Long and laborious. Study Bible. Like October 1st, I trust your pastor. She should hold you here again. Long and laborious. That's Bible study. Evangelism must not become social PR. It must not be. It must never be. You must not hold Jesus with one hand and rice with the other hand. No, sir. You want to give to the poor, give to the poor. When it's time to preach the gospel, I come in the name of the Lord. That is why when he was sending the apostles, he said, don't take anything. Lest you are tempted to think that, can I bless you with this? So you can hear me. And also for contentment. For the preacher. Evangelism must be a presentation of the message of the Christ to the poor, to the rich. You won't tell the rich and say, sir, or see the poor, say, God wants to change your status. What's that? That's no message. That's no message. You want to change a status of a dead man to what? What he needs is Christ, not more money. Hallelujah. Praise God. Everything must not change. It must our style must not change. It must be evangelism must be loud with that offense of the gospel. Say they don't want that, but they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear Jesus. So can we just say, okay, they don't want to hear that Jesus is raised from the dead? Can we just preach that, okay, Jesus is a good man? No, sir. No. It's not about he's a good man. He is God that became a man, died for our sins. Old time religion. Hold. Ministry must be ministry with all your life, with all your pursuits. It must not change. It must not be someone say, ah, pastor, I didn't know. I'm not sure if I'm calling to full-time or part-time. What is it? Okay, it's full-time or part-time. We are the one that invented grammar to confuse ourselves. There's nothing like that in the Bible. There's no full-time, there's no part-time. There's only a mystery of Jesus that you do with all your life. Which one is full-time? Which one is part-time? You do it with all your life. In fact, you do everything else to support this. It must be the apostolic pattern. The times we are living must not change. It must not change. It must not change our message. To now, oh, just live a good moral life in your office. That's how to do evangelism. Have you heard that before? So just be a good Christian in your office. And then so we'll be saved. Nobody will be saved. You don't get it? Nobody. Your good lifestyle saves nobody. The message is what saves. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's why he told Peter, say, henceforth, I will make you fishers of men. Not fishers of fishes and men. Fishers of men. He's not saying if you fish again, it's wrong. No. But now, your duty, your singular duty. We have a song which you are around when we sang it. We have one destiny, we have one purpose, we have one passion. It is God's will. One, say one. One. One purpose. Neos to go van the running, got to go van the na. Everything else aligns. Can stop praying. I'm almost done. You do everything else for this cause. Nothing must compete with your in Christ assignment. The times you are in must not compete with it. Church cannot be a church. Yes, we may go online because of what happened at times, but we must seek again to gather. It must be raw. You flee idols, flee convenience, flee idols, flee convenience. Your Bible, we read one more verse, then we'll pray fervently. Read one verse, then we'll pray fervently. We'll be done today and tomorrow. Be awesome. Like we are today. Say, I've been blessed. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. You know, there is this thing that some people always wait for the high point of the program. No, in fact, you have passed the high point already. You have seen Christ exalted in you. You have seen Christ sending you. You have seen Christ. You have seen Christ enthroned in your activities. You have seen Christ as the Lord of your life. That's the high point. That's the high point. Yes, we minister to you. But the high point. It's what? It's when you see Christ. Say, I've seen him. And I can't say no. Say, I've seen him in my affairs. And I can't say no. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 4 verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Guys, he said, I charge thee. Who shall judge? No, the pastor will teach you this later. The quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. I charge thee. I bring you before the God, the judge of the heaven and earth. Next word. Let's read verse 2. Want to go? Preach the word. What are you preaching? Say the word. The word. Say the word. The word. How do you know the interpretation of the word? Scriptures, right? So everything preaching the word is just to say, come and say something on every Sunday. No. What is the word? It's there. In the beginning was the word. The word was the God. The word was God. And the word became flesh. And he dwells among us, and we bear his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the word. So you preach him, you preach Jesus. When? Let's read, yes. Be instant when? Eukaryos and what? Out of sin. Eukaryos. Next word, yes. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. For the time will come when they shall not what? So when men are not interested in enduring sound doctrine, what's your duty? Be instant. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Be instant. Be instant.
Oh, you must be instant. Take up the temple. More temple. Amen. Pray, 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 pray. Be instant. Late pala seke vila kaprata kate satata. Be instant. In season and out of season. Rebuke, reprove, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. With all long suffering and doctrine. With all long suffering and doctrine. Your message must not change with the times. It must not change. Pray, please. Pray a bit more. Pray a bit more. Everyone is doing it, not me. I follow Christ. I follow his ministry. I follow his pattern. His will is my will. His purpose is my purpose. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. You are men that will take territories for God. Please, if you are watching online, have good attitude. Pray too. Pray too. Pray in the Holy Ghost. In season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. With all long suffering and doctrine. Let the times change. The ministry of Jesus must not change. Let everything get updated. The ministry of Jesus has no updated version. Because we have a message that is superior to the times. A message, a work that was before time is. So this time you are, year 2020 cannot determine your ministry. Year 2020 cannot determine your fervency. Year 2020, the loss in these years, the obsessions, it cannot, it must not. Yourself up, pick yourself up and run, and run, and run, and run, and run. Pick yourself up 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 and run. Just 5 more minutes. Just pray. 5 more minutes. Pray. 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 In season, out of season. You have a message before the times. You have a message before the times we are in. You have a message. 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 You have a work. A work God has committed to your care. Pray fervently a bit more. Thank you. We have a son that said, money will not move me. Fame will not blend me. Applause will not sway me. I keep my mind same
With the word of Christ, I keep my mind simple. I keep my mind simple. Oh, I keep my mind simple. I am not too complicated for God to use. I am not too complicated for God to reach out to. No. When it comes to obeying God, I am simple. When it comes to obeying His will, I am simple. I am simple. I am simple. I don't find fulfillment in things that the Bible says will pass away. The year will pass away. Year 2020 and its obsessions, its laws, its crazy things, it will pass away. But what you have done with Christ and His ministry will never pass away. Brethren, that is what we live for. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. God came out of time into time to save us from time, from this age, and from death. So we have seen death, both the age and the time. The age and death, He has saved us from it. Galatians 4 says, who deliver us from this present evil age. Brethren, you have been delivered. You have been delivered. That is why we say, as pilgrims and strangers on the earth, the world will pass away. Ah, it will pass away. It will pass away. God, He stepped into time to show us God. Went outside time to save you from the dangers of this age, from the dangers of time. From the years of time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the lust of the age does not call the shots for you. He has delivered you from the current age. Because you are already delivered from death. He has delivered you from the current times. Because you already have victory over time. So these times that you are in does not have the right to lord over you. That is what everybody is doing in this year. Does not mean that that's will be the constraint of your life. You have been delivered. When He delivered you from death, He delivered you from the age. That's Galatians, from the present evil world. That means boldly you move out doing the will of the Father. You tell Jesus, don't worry, the world does not call the shots. You call the shots. You call the shots. You call the shots. You call the shots. What my friends say does not call the shots right now. Oh God, you call the shots. The pressures of family, pressures of pressure, pressure, they don't call the shots. That thing to make money, they don't call the shots for me. Ah! You call the shots. You call the shots. You call the shots. As I close, hold somebody and pray for you. Your mind, two hands, don't worry, hold somebody. Your mind is stable on God's will. Pray for that person. Thank you. Pray for somebody. 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 Pray. Pray for somebody.